Hello and welcome to this reflection from Streatham Vale Baptist Church. We continue to journey with Jesus as we follow the events recorded in Matthew's Gospel. This week we look at two episodes of conflict with, yes you guessed it, the Pharisees. So I'm going to read from Matthew 12 verses 1 to 14. At that time Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry and began to pick some heads of grain and eat them. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath." He answered, "Haven't you read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and he and his companions ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for them to do, but only for the priests. Or haven't you read in the law that the priests on Sabbath duty in the temple desecrate the Sabbath, and yet are innocent? I tell you that something greater than the temple is here. If you had known what these words mean, 'I desire mercy, not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the innocent, for the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." Going on from that place, he went into their synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Looking for a reason to bring charges against Jesus, they asked him, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" He said to them, "If any of you has a sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will you not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a person than a sheep? Therefore it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." So he stretched it out, and it was completely restored, just as sound as the other. But the Pharisees went out and plotted how they might kill Jesus. So it was a Sabbath day, and Jesus and his disciples were walking through a field of grain on their way to the synagogue, presumably to perform the various sacrifices and religious rituals required on the Sabbath day. The disciples were hungry, and they reached out and picked a few heads of grain to munch on. This, of course, was noticed by the ever-vigilant and critical Pharisees, who immediately drew the matter to Jesus' attention. "Look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath." The Pharisees were overly and unnecessarily concerned with following the letter of the law, to the point that they had completely lost sight of the point of the law in the first place. God gave the instruction of the Sabbath to the Israelites for two main reasons. But let me just read from Exodus 20, verse 8 to 11. "Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labour and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in six days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." So God gave us the Sabbath for a couple of reasons. One reason is so that we can rest and not overwork ourselves to exhaustion, leading to burnout. God is a compassionate and loving God who provides instructions designed to help us look after ourselves. In Exodus 23, verse 10 to 12, God specifically speaks that specifically states that the Sabbath gives both humanity and creation as a whole a chance to be refreshed. Speaking of both the Sabbath day and the Sabbath year, God says, This is from the Message translation. "Sow your land for 6 years and gather in its crops, but in the seventh year leave it alone and give it a rest. so that your poor may eat for it. What they leave, let the wildlife have. Do the same with your vineyards and olive groves. Work for 6 days and rest the seventh, so that your oxen and donkey may rest, and your servant and the migrant workers may have time to get their needed rest. God knows we're not good at managing our own well-being, so he gave us a structure that would help provide what we need. When we are left to our own devices, we tend to find ourselves working to the bone. A fairly dramatic example of this is during the French Revolution, the revolutionary government tried to establish a 10-day week in which people only got one rest in 10 days. Needless to say, within a couple of years, this 10-day week was abolished. Our bodies, our minds, and our emotions need us to take regular breaks, and God established a pattern that worked to provide us with the right amount of rest. Do you get enough rest? Is your body tired? Your mind overwhelmed? Your emotions frazzled? How can you return to God's established rhythms of work and rest and allow him to restore and refresh you? The other primary reason for the Sabbath is to set aside a day to worship and connect with God without the distractions of work taking our attentions. The commandment regarding the Sabbath states that the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. He calls us to keep it holy, to set it apart from the other days of the week, and to give it specifically as time to focus on God and our relationship with him. It means we are attentive to God and what he is saying more than we would normally be, because we do not have the distractions that the other 6 days would. So this was the point of giving us the Sabbath, so that we could rest physically and mentally, and also so that we could be spiritually refreshed by spending time with God. God structured the week so that we would have at least 1 day in seven in which we would get the rest and refreshing we need. However, we are not good with rules and instructions. Either we completely disregard what the instructions say, which I might argue is what we often do with regards to honouring the Sabbath at the moment, or we go to the opposite extreme and make additions and conditions to the instructions given. And the Pharisees fell into that second category. And they took the simple instruction to take a day to rest and decided they need to help God out by defining in specific detail what work and rest really look like. They established 39 things that were prohibited on the Sabbath. And these 39 things were ploughing, planting, reaping, gathering, winnowing, sorting, grinding, sifting, kneading, cooking, shearing, laundering, combing wool, dyeing, spinning, warping, making two loops, weaving, separating two threads, tying, untying, sewing, tearing, trapping, killing, skinning, curing, smoothing, scoring, cutting, writing, erasing, construction, demolition, perfecting, ignition, extinguishing flames, and carrying between domains. So that's a fairly exhaustive and a fairly exhausting list. The problem is that the Pharisees were no longer focusing on the purpose of the Sabbath. Instead, it became about trying to be the best at doing nothing, not putting aside distractions to worship God. We are all individuals, and so we are all distracted by different things, which means that giving an absolute list of things that you can and can't do doesn't really make sense. For example, on that list is included writing, but I often write when I am praying and connecting with God. Journaling is a common method people use to focus their attention on hearing from God, and yet according to the Pharisees' list, that would be forbidden on the Sabbath day. We are all distracted and consumed by different things. So if we're serious about honouring the Sabbath, it would have to look different for each person. For example, I know of people who choose to have a social media and communications ban on their Sabbath days. They turn off the phone and do not connect with people digitally. Is your phone a distraction to you? Maybe you need to think about having a ban on using your phone on the Sabbath day so that you can hear from God. But if the phone and the social media is not something that distracts you, then having a rule about that is useless to you. Instead, you would need to consider what distracts you from paying attention to God and worshipping him fully. And so this is why Jesus responds so firmly to the Pharisees' attempts to call out the disciples for doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath. Jesus gives the Pharisees different reasons and examples to demonstrate why they are wrong. Firstly, he uses the example of David. Haven't you read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He was referring to 1 Samuel 21, verses 1 to 6. When David and his men were fleeing from Saul, they asked for something to eat from Ahimelech, who had nothing to offer except the consecrated bread that only priests were supposed to consume. Jesus used this as an example to demonstrate that the laws of the Sabbath were of less importance than compassion to people in need. The disciples were in need of some sustenance and had nothing on them. So picking some food from the field was an acceptable action to take, even on the Sabbath. Then Jesus goes on to make note of the priests who work on the Sabbath because they are on Sabbath duty. The commandment of the Sabbath requires people to rest from their work and spend their time worshipping God. But for the priests, their work is to help people in their worship of God. Therefore, they cannot rest on the Sabbath, because their work is also their worship. And so they are not disobeying the law, but upholding the spirit of it. Thus, they are innocent of breaking the Sabbath because of what they are doing. In a similar way, I work on Sundays, which Christians consider the Sabbath day, and yet my work is not breaking the Sabbath because I am helping people to worship God, which is the intention of having a Sabbath day in the first place. Then Jesus says to them, if you had known what these words mean, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the innocent. Here Jesus quotes the prophet Hosea from Hosea 6, verse 6, where God speaks to Israel who kept being unfaithful by worshipping other gods, but who also believed they could win God's favour through rituals and sacrifices. And so he says to the Israelites, what can I do with you, Ephraim? What can I do with you, Judah? Your love is like the morning mist, like the early dew that disappears. For I desire mercy, not sacrifice, an acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings. In the same way that Jesus speaks to the Pharisees, trying to remind them of the purpose of the Sabbath, to rest our bodies and to connect with God. As the Message version of Hosea 6 says, I'm after a love that lasts, not more religion. I want you to know God, not go to more prayer meetings. Yet the Pharisees remained focused on the rituals and outward practices of the Sabbath, not on the inward intention of being with God. Finally, Jesus ends by stating that he is Lord of the Sabbath and thus has the right to allow his disciples to eat from the field on the Sabbath. But clearly, all this discussion on the purpose of the Sabbath and the need for compassion first before legalistic ritual, all of that went over the Pharisees' heads. As Jesus reached the synagogue, he met a man with a shriveled hand, and the Pharisees wanted to trap Jesus, and so they spoke and asked, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? Jesus once again points out their hypocrisy and the ridiculousness of their laws. If any of you had a sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will you not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a person than a sheep? Jesus notes how the prohibitions that they added to the Sabbath allowed someone to rescue their sheep out of a pit, yet would not allow them to bring aid and healing to a man in need. Time and time again, the Pharisees put tradition and ritual above compassion and mercy towards their fellow man. It's easy to sit back and criticise the Pharisees for their actions, but we also need to take a closer look at ourselves and see the ways in which we allow our traditions or rituals or other human things to get in the way of having compassion and mercy on others. It's so easy to follow the legalistic ways of life instead of following God's way, the way in which he calls us to live, that slows down the rhythms of life and gives us chance to rest, but also has compassion on others. So I'm going to pray now, and I want us to think about, firstly, what distracts us from paying attention to God and allowing ourselves to recognise what we might need to change so that we can have a day in which we are attentive to him. And then I want us to think about what gets in the way of us showing mercy and compassion to others. So let's pray. Creator God, maker of all the days, the 6 days of work and the seventh day, maker of heaven and earth and rest and work, Lord, may we make this our Sabbath space, our reflective place, where we might find ourselves once more and find you more clearly than we have before. Lord, help us to recognise what distracts us and stops us from paying attention to you, and give us the courage and the strength to put that aside for one day and spend it focusing our attentions on you. Help us to learn to build in that rhythm of work and rest that you have so graciously provided us. And Lord, I pray that you would refresh us, renew our bodies, give peace and stillness to our minds, calm our emotions, and fill our spirits with your spirit. And Lord, too, we pray that we would not allow things to stop us acting with compassion and mercy towards others. Lord, let us put aside tradition or ritual or any other human thing if it's stopping us from reaching out in love, if it's stopping us to show mercy to someone. Lord, you know what it is that stops us from acting with love. So I pray that you would highlight that in our lives and help us to remove it so that we can follow you and listen to your call and act when you call us to act. We pray all of this in your holy name. Amen.